Holy Spirit. Amen. I think Jerry, after being in the photo business for 32 years, would probably be the first one to tell you that it's important to keep those moments in time, those snapshots, those photographs, if you will, a high school graduation, a marriage of a son or a daughter, the baptism of a granddaughter or a grandson, a vacation, a birthday, whatever they may be, it's important to remember those moments as our Kodak moments. Now, over time, you've gotten your iPhones. You're able to keep those pictures close at hand and take photographs wherever you are. Digital cameras have even made that easier. If you go on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or Twitter or whatever other base you want to go on, you're going to find hundreds of Kodak moments that your friends felt important enough to share with you. I was visiting with Pam, making preparations for the day. And as we began to talk, she shared with me that after she retired, they were finally able to do something that Jerry was unwilling to do or unable to do up to that point. It was to go on a vacation. Now, those of you who have run your own business realize it's hard to leave the shop when you're the sole proprietor. Who do you trust with your pride and joy? Not just anyone. And so he made himself to be a workaholic and kind of stayed in the shop and avoided vacations or making those Kodak moments. But after retirement, they came. And the first one you mentioned to me, the best one, Pastor, is we went to Alaska on that sea and soil tour, and we got to see all these beautiful things we'd never seen before. We even took a trip to Florida, and I believe to the East Coast. But one of those Kodak moments that she remembered was a trip they took out to Yellowstone with Janice and her husband, Jeff. Certainly they would qualify as Kodak moments. But this morning, as you and I gather in this place, it doesn't feel like a Kodak moment. In fact, I dare say none of us have taken pictures this morning as you gathered in this place, because quite honestly, a day like today is soon forgotten, or at least we hope it will be. Because see, whenever death comes to call, it sucks the joy right out of life. And we find ourselves grieving, and over time it's hard to move on. Because that's just how death is. It steals the ones we love the most. And all we have left is our Kodak moments. I want you to know something, though. On a day like today, this day was never a part of God's plan for Jerry. It wasn't a part of God's plan originally for you and me either. See, in the book of Genesis, God says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Notice, it wasn't just good. It was the best. It was very good. At that moment, Adam and Eve were a mere image of their Heavenly Father. They were holy. They were righteous. They were everything. God didn't cordon off a part of the Garden of Eden as a cemetery to plant the remains of Adam and Eve. I don't find that anywhere in the book of Genesis at all. There was no need. They were created holy and righteous. God never intended man to experience death. Death comes as a result of our sins, our imperfections. Having grown up in the Grinemeyer family, I am quite sure that Jerry was brought to Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church early and often as a child. His dad served as an elder. I think Molly served about any position a woman can serve at Emmanuel. And that was their home away from the cabin up by the lake. And Emmanuel and their home, that was about it. That was life. But the reality is, at first they took him to the old structure that's located at the corner of 8th and D. It kind of looks more like a library than a church. And then later on, the new church was built over by the old St. Elizabeth on 11th and South Street. And it was there that their family would gather and worship. It was there that he would have stood up with his family and confessed his sins. Because the order of our worship begins with the idea, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I've ever offended you. And that's a confession that he would have made. But he wouldn't have stopped there. He would have said, but I am heartily sorry for them. And I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me. See, Jerry would have looked into the mirror of God's law and realized his shortcomings. The reality that he was a sinner. And ultimately, he knew that Tuesday would come. Tuesday, June the 11th of this year. And his eyelids would close in death. But as the owner of the photo shop, I'm quite sure he has perfected the art of fixing imperfections in photographs. Actually, I find it fairly amazing. You can take some pretty homely people and make them to be fairly attractive with a few good brush strokes. And I know my senior pictures, I had acne, was removed. It was a miracle. I never thought I looked so good. With this artistic stroke that he could take imperfection and turn it into a Kodak moment for other people that they'll cherish ultimately for a lifetime. But unfortunately, no matter how hard he tried, no matter how artistic he was, within his own life, he was never able to fix his own imperfections caused by his sin. It was in the spring of 1944, actually the date was April the 2nd, if you want to know, that God took the initiative of recreating Jerry into his own image. Now, he was a small lad, small boy, wrapped in the arms of his mother and father. They came to Emmanuel, and it was there that he was baptized. It was there that the pastor poured the water and said the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It was at that moment in time that God took the initiative with his brushstrokes of grace and forgiveness to wipe away all of his sins and to usher him into the family of God and looked at him in a whole new way as holy and righteous in the very image of God himself. I thought as a photograph guy, he would appreciate the analogy of the dark room. When you'd go into the dark room in the old days, you'd have the film and you'd develop the film, and then all of a sudden you'd pull it out and you'd shoot your prints. You'd take that blank piece of print paper that there's nothing on it, and you would slide it into the developer. And I love that part of being on the yearbook staff, because out of nothing, all of a sudden this picture grew, and all of a sudden there was a photograph in front of you. It was amazing. Through that water of his baptism, God recreated him, making him holy and righteous, calling him his own very own child. Now, it was a few years later, now Jerry having the opportunity to stand on his own two feet and make his own confession of faith. It was on March 30th, 1958. He marched up in front of the congregation at Emmanuel, and as most young men do in their white robes on confirmation day, probably shaking just a little bit, he made his confession of faith, that I'd rather suffer all rather than death and fall away from this confession, this church, and this faith in Jesus Christ. And Pastor Raistler gave him a verse that day from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, that says this, for you are bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Jerry was bought with a price, not with gold or silver, but he was bought with the holy, innocent, and precious blood of Jesus Christ shed upon a cross of Calvary. You know, I can still remember my senior pictures. Many of my classmates came in with many different changes of clothes and all these fancy things going on, but I was a poor boy, the son of a single dad. We didn't have much. I came in with my varsity football jersey and a blue collared shirt. I quite honestly don't know where it came from. It was in the closet, so I wore it. And Mr. Marshall took me down to the park. We took some pictures casually of my football jersey. And then we came back to the studio where he wanted to take a formal portrait for the senior picture. And I had on my light blue collared shirt, and I thought I was kind of decked out. You're only going to get a headshot anyway, and you can fix the acne later. And he took the pictures of me, and all of a sudden he looked at me and goes, this isn't complete. And he took off his own sweater. It was a blue cardigan, I remember. And he placed his blue cardigan on my shoulder, says, put this on. So I put his blue cardigan over my shoulder, and Mr. Marshall took pictures of me from my senior picture with his sweater on. An act of kindness that I will not soon forget. I share that story with you because if you open up the Ward High School yearbook with my photo as a senior, you're going to see me in Mr. Marshall's sweater. And I share that story with you because today, through faith in Jesus Christ, Jerry stands in the midst of the saints who have gone before, with Douglas, Molly, Lefty, Henry to some of you, but Lefty to me. He stands with them in glory, wrapped in a robe of righteousness that has been washed by the blood of the Lamb. An act of kindness that will not soon be forgotten. Today, as we gather in this place, it doesn't necessarily feel like a Kodak moment. And as I watched the picture scroll by and I heard the reactions of people around me, I can tell there's a lot of love in this room, not only for Jerry, but also for his family. And your being here is a big part of it. But as we leave this place, we descend back into the valley of called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And we make our way to our own pilgrimage, to when our eyelids close in death, and we are brought before the Lord. But we're not afraid. Because today we don't mourn as people who have no hope. We mourn as people redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ who have that promise of eternal life. And for you today, you have a promise too of that reunion that occurs with you and Jerry when you're called home to be with him. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.